हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. सो दि अध्यासः, वि आर् डिस्कसिङ्ग् नौ अध्यास. अध्यासः मीन्स् error in perception, mistaking one for the other. Not only mistaking the one for the other, and also taking the attributes of one as the attributes of the other. And this is such adhyasa, the error in perception of mistaking one for the other, and thereby superimposing the attributes of one upon the other is possible only in when there is lack of discriminative knowledge. Therefore, here in this text, in order to have the discriminative knowledge of the self from the non-self, self and the non-self, and we are discussing these, what are those adhyasas. And here we see that these three bodies are first discussed here as Thula Shariram and the Sukshma Shariram and also the Karna Shariram. The Karna Shariram is nothing but the cause. The causal body is nothing but the cause. The cause which is responsible for the Sthula, the gross and the subtle bodies. So we have discussed till now this Sthula Shariram is the gross body, which is available for objectification for all of us, available for perception, which is gross and tangible, and that serves as an abode of enjoyment of pleasures, and which is an object of knowledge that we understood. And later on, we moved on to the subtle body. Subtle body is not something, subtle body is subtle, imperceptible, it is available for object, available for one's own perception, it is not available for thought perception, not available for sense perception, it is not available for every perception of everybody. At the same time, being subtle, it indwells the gross body. And subtle body, we use the word body, but it doesn't have form of its own, it is very subtle. And then it serves as an instrument of enjoyment. The difference, what's the difference between subtle body and gross body? Gross body is an abode of enjoyment. Subtle body is an instrument of enjoyment. And the subtle and the gross bodies, you know, they are products of sattvic, rajasic, tamasic aspects of elements. Because mind and sense powers are the six of them, are products of sattvic aspects of elements, and pranas and powers of organs of actions are products of rajasic aspect of elements, and physical gross body is a product of tamasic aspect of elements. Anyway, all of them are subtle or gross. All these, both these bodies are elemental products. Therefore, they are inert also in their nature. This much we understood. And then later on, we have come to this, the last one, the 14th verse. Okay, we'll read the 14th verse. anadya vidya nirvachya, vidya nirvachya karanopadhiruchyate, padhiruchyate upadhitritayadanyam, tritayadanyam atmanamavadharayet. And now in this 14th verse, he discusses the causal body. The causal body also, what he says, what is this? This is the third upadhi, isn't it? The sthula shariram also is an upadhi. The subtle body, sukshma shariram also is an upadhi. Now this, even this causal body also is an upadhi. And I have already explained to you, upadhi is that which is responsible for the transference of the attributes of attributes upon the atma, attributes of non-self upon to the atma. Therefore, this non-self, non-self itself, the attributes of which become falsely transferred to the atma, the self, is called upadhi. So now this causal body also is another upadhi. And what is it? Karana upadhi. It is anadi, avidya, anirvachya. This causal body is also what now? Anadihi. When you say causal body, I told you many times, you do not think of it as a body. If I say wood is the causal body of the table, what does it mean? You have a body, okay? The cause is said to be the causal body of the table, the effect. Similarly, fabric is the causal body of the shirt. Water is the causal body of the ocean. That means what? Causal body means nothing but the cause. The cause is, and this cause is to be understood as the causal body. So here, this cause, what is this cause now? Cause of the gross universe, cause of the subtle universe is the same cause, is the cause of subtle body and gross body. And that cause, original cause, is what now is not created, it's not produced. Therefore, it's also beginningless. The original matter also is uncreated, therefore anadi. The very verse begins with the word anadi. Once when you understand the original matter, the cause of the gross and subtle body is uncreated, beginningless, means it's very clear, anything beginningless has no end also, therefore matter also is endless. It is beginningless and endless. So beginningless, endless means what? It is indestructible. It is uncreated, therefore it is indestructible also. So anadihi. And then anadihi avidya. It is called avidya. Why? Because the original matter is of the nature of inertness, inertia. Therefore it is called avidya. So avidya, how to know what is inertness? How to know what is inertia? How to know what it is inertness? Anything which does not know its own existence, and anything which does not know the existence of anything else, anything which does not reveal, which cannot reveal its existence by itself, is inert in nature. How do you define the inertness? When you say this mic is inert, and it is of the nature of inertness, how do you know? It does not know the existence of its own, does not know the existence of something else, it does not have the capacity to reveal its presence by itself. It cannot come to light by itself. If my eyes do not see, it is as good as non-existent. It doesn't have the capacity to reveal its presence by itself, which is called, that is inertness, isn't it? So avidya means this, the matter, original matter also, original matter is of the nature of inertness. And inertness means what it is to understand you can, that's why you using your own deep sleep state experience, you can understand how the matter in its original form would have been. Okay, the matter in its original form is the subtlest matter, never available for objectification, but still to understand using your model of your, you know, the sleep, you can understand how matter would have been. Okay, in deep sleep state, there is an experience, and what is the experience you have? What is the experience in deep sleep state? There is no knowledge that you are. There is no knowledge you are. There is no knowledge I am. Now in waking, all of us are self-conscious. I know I am. All of us know we are in waking state. In deep sleep state, there is no knowledge I am. Not only there is no knowledge I am, there is no knowledge that the universe is. The knowledge that the universe is, this is, that is, these are, those are, this knowledge that the universe is not possible if there is no knowledge I am. That is why we always say the knowledge I am is the basis for any other thought to exist. That is why it's said to be the dead end of the mind also. Anyway, the knowledge I am is not there. The knowledge the universe is also is not there. Then when you say that is this total ignorance. What is total ignorance? There is no knowledge the universe is. Therefore, there is no knowledge that I am. Then ignorance is total. The total ignorance is what? Don't take it for granted. Total ignorance is what? Subtlest form of matter. It is difficult to accept. When the ignorance is total, there is neither pain nor pleasure. You can't say in deep sleep state I experience little pain. No. You can't say I experience pleasure also. No. Pleasure also, understand now, that what you experience in deep sleep state is the total ignorance. And when there is total ignorance, what you experience is bliss. What is bliss now? Total ignorance is bliss. Bliss means non-experience of pain or pleasure is bliss. Okay, pleasure is something possible only when there is half knowledge. I am, that knowledge must be there. Then I experience of pleasure is possible, experience of pain is possible. When there is no knowledge I am, then there is neither pain nor pleasure. That what is experience is what? It's called bliss. So bliss, experience of bliss is possible, only ignorance is total. Okay? So absence of experience of pain and pleasure is equal to experience of bliss. Experience of bliss is possible only when there is total ignorance. Total ignorance is that absence of the knowledge that the universe is also unmanifest. The knowledge that I am is also unmanifest. Okay, the knowledge I am, even it is unmanifest, and the knowledge that the universe is also unmanifest. So unmanifest knowledge is what? Total ignorance. When the knowledge is totally unmanifest, that condition is called total ignorance. And then what is there is bliss, sorrowlessness. That is why in total ignorance also there is no sorrow, and again in total knowledge also there will not be sorrow, there is happiness. In total knowledge there is happiness, in total ignorance there is bliss. But when knowledge is half, then there is both pain and pleasure. Is it clear? Therefore, in waking state, your knowledge is what? Only half knowledge. You know you are, and you know the universe is, but what you do not know is what this universe is, you do not know actually, and what you are also you do not know. Okay, knowledge of universe is half knowledge. Not knowing what this universe is not there. It means you're half ignorant, isn't it? It's like saying, I know there is ocean, fine. But this ocean is water, you do not know. It's called half ignorance. Half knowledge, half ignorance. In waking state, you have half knowledge. What the universe is, that knowledge is. But you do not know what this universe is. In the same, why? Because you know you are, but you do not know what you are. If there is half knowledge with reference to one's own self, half with reference to the universe, this half knowledge is manifest in the waking state. In deep sleep state, this half knowledge also is unmanifest. Therefore, we say total ignorance and total. Understand? No, total ignorance means knowledge is totally unmanifest. Now, knowledge is half manifest in waking state. But with this half manifest knowledge can become what now? Totally manifest knowledge. When you understand what I am, this knowledge I am, what I am, then what this universe is, when you know what I am, then what this universe is also becomes understood. You need not, you can never know what this universe is without knowing what I am. Knowing what I am is as good as knowing what this universe is. In knowing what this universe is, knowledge becomes total. And the total knowledge is the manifestation of total knowledge, which is freedom, moksha, happiness. Is it clear? Therefore, avidya. Avidya means what? Avidya, he talks about, avidya means the knowledge is totally unmanifest. If the knowledge is unmanifest knowledge, the total knowledge being totally unmanifest, or you can say total ignorance, is avidya, which is the, that is how the original matter is. You cannot, it's not comprehensible, but we try to understand this. Therefore, anadi, and this, now you know very well, it is not created. Okay, this avidya, the total ignorance, is not created. It has no beginning. That's why it's anadi. Who creates this? It's beginningless. We are going to see that anadi, that is going to be the power of consciousness. We are going to see that later on. Anyway, then anirvachya. What it says, anirvachya. Anirvachya means indescribable, inexplicable. Nirvachyam means something which can be explained. Explicable, describable is nirvachya. Because suppose a gross form you can describe. Even the subtle manifestation you can't describe. How this object looks, how what this object is, then you can describe, because it is tangible, describable, because it has certain attributes, the describable. But when it comes to subtle, even the headache, you have headache, but can you describe headache? Can you describe your anger? Can you describe what desire is? You can understand what desire is, what anger is, but you cannot draw, paint, and you can't describe even the words. Even subtle, that's why subtle is called intangible. Subtle itself is indescribable. What to talk of this, the total, the maya, the to avidya, this maya, with the same, the causal body, the original matter, subtlest matter, which is no beginning and much, much subtler than the subtle manifestation, which itself is indescribable, is also what? No, indescribable. That's why anirvachya. Can you describe? You can understand. It is taught, it's understandable. But can you describe? You can't describe. That's why anirvachya. Inexplicable, anirvachya. And this is what now? This is what is karana shariram. This is how the original matter is. And this is now you understand. Therefore, because it's available for at least through the model of your deep sleep state experience, you can understand how, what this causal body is, how the causal body would have been. And this is there. It's available for experience for you. Therefore, even though it is not objectifiable, isn't it? Why I say it is not objectifiable? Okay, anything perceived through an instrument of perception alone can be said to be an object, said to be objectifiable. But when you talk about a deep sleep state experience, is there anything in between? Is there an instrument of perception between this what is experienced and the experiencer? Isn't it? There's something because of whose presence experience is possible. But still there is an experience also, isn't it? And what is experienced is object of experience. The object of experience is not describable when you are in sleep. And waking up from sleep, you're able to talk about the experience means that experience has become object of your memory. That means it was experienced. But that you're able to say, how was the sleep? How did you sleep? I slept well means, what does it mean? How slept well? What was the experience then? I did not know I was. If anybody says, no, I knew in my sleep, I slept well, I knew I was in sleep. If you say, you did not sleep well, then you were awake. So I slept well means, you slept well means it's a deep sleep. Deep sleep state means, that is what is deep sleep is this condition wherein you do not know you are. If you know you are, it is not sleep. That is why sleep is always something so desirable for us, because completely there's no pain, no pleasure. Why? Because sleep is desirable. It's a sukham. So, no, it's really pleasure. Not pleasure actually, it's more than that. Why? Because there's no knowledge I am. Even in dream, you have dream I. But in deep sleep state, there's no knowledge I am. And there's no knowledge the world is. Therefore, we call it ignorance is total. In waking also, do you have total knowledge? No. In waking also, you have half knowledge. What it is? I know I am. I know the world is. But what I do not know is, I do not know what I am. I do not know what this universe is. When you know what I know I am, I know what I am, I know this universe is, I know what this universe is, I know all that is, there is only Brahman. When you know, okay, if you know you what you are, then you know what this universe is. If you know what this universe is, then your knowledge will be what? All that is, there is only Ishvara, Bhagavan, Paramatma, Brahma. This, when you say this, you have already resolved your identity with this Paramatma, the whole. Then that is what? Then knowledge is total. That's why then total knowledge is fullness, manifestation of fullness, which is happiness. as a Bhagavan Swarupam. Therefore, he says here, he just to understand avidya, I am talking about all these things. So, anirvachya, and because why he has to talk about what that which is available for experience and as an object of experience only in deep sleep state without requiring an instrument of perception also, what is experienced, what is available for experience in deep sleep state is also what? That is what is there when you reduce the gross universe, you reduce the gross and subtle bodies, can be ultimately reduced to what? This causal body, the cause. Understand, like how if all our, the physical body is sent to the lab, it is burnt and it can be reduced to all chemicals and at last minerals. Like that, what it can be reduced to, ultimately what it can be reduced, everything can be reduced to one subtlest matter, and that is what is given the name avidya anadihi anirvachya. In fact, one more thing we can say, avyaktam avyakritihi. We have so many words. Anyway, I'm going to teach you all the synonyms of the subtle matter later on. We'll see that. And this, he says, what is Atma here? Upadi trithayam trithayad anyam atmanam avadharayet. Even this causal body which is available for your experience in deep sleep state, even that is also anatma. Then what is Atma then? That because of the presence of which alone, the ignorance being there is, ignorance is being there is experienceable. The knowledge I am being not there, the knowledge that the universe is being not there is known because of the presence of which that is Atma. So, upadi trithayat anyam atmanam avadharayet. Please understand, may one understand very clearly. Avadharayet means may one understand that Atma is different from, distinct from, even though not distensible. Atma is not distensible, not distant from this experienced, isn't it? This deep sleep state experience, what is experienced in deep sleep state is the, okay, even from that object of experience, Atma is distinct, different. Okay, that is what is pure consciousness. You know that he'll make it very clear. It's not just the end of the class, isn't it? He's introducing Atmanam anyam avadharayet. May one understand Atma being distant. The Atma itself means what? No, Pratyagatma means the innermost essence, the self, innermost self, the innermost essence, which is all pervasive also. That Atma is distinct from even that avidya, even that bliss, even that ignorance, isn't it? Clear now? Now we'll go to the next verse. It is slowly he's developing now. Now he'll start actually.
Panchakoshadiyogena
tattanmaya ivasthitaha
shuddhatma
nilavastradi yogena sphatiko yatha. So very beautiful is, I told you, as I told in the very beginning, in Atmabodha, every small thing, every verse, Shankara presents a very beautiful, appropriate, apt, simple example to understand everything, to remember everything. So panchakoshadi yogena tattanmaya ivasthitaha shuddhatma neela vastradi yogena spatiko yatha. So now he, having said, introduced these threefold bodies. Three bodies means this sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, and karana shariram, at least gross, subtle, causal bodies. He said how atma is distinct from these threefold bodies. With the threefold body, anatma is presented. Non-self is only one matter, material product. When you say non-self, other than atma, the consciousness, anatma, the non-self is, you can say, material product. The only material product, the non-self, he is presented in three parts, as the gross body, a subtle body, as the causal body. Understand now? Threefold manifestations of matter he is presenting. How matter is, and that matter, how it is in subtle form, how it is in gross form, all of them are what? Totally anatma, the non-self. Isn't it? Atma, anatma, only two things you have to discover here. We are distinguished, it's only for discriminative knowledge of, to distinguish atma from the anatma. We are talking about as the two things, atma and anatma. And this anatma is presented in as three, okay, in three, presented as in the form of three bodies. Now his discourse is just introducing. Shankara in this Atma Bodha is not elaborating on panchakoshas. I'm also not going to elaborate on panchakoshas, but he just mentions the word panchakoshas, which we have already done very well in Taittiriya class, which will be analyzed again. So here he says, the panchakoshas are five layers of personality, and all of them are, this again the same anatma presented as three bodies is presented again what? Differently as five koshas. The gross body is said to be the physical personality, the exterior, external, outer gross personality, which is modified form of gross matter, the tamasic aspect of elements, annam brahma, born of food, sustained by food, which dissolves into food, which is nothing but modified form of gross matter, is this physical body, which is called annamayaha koshaha. And this is what, that is gross body is presented as annamayaha koshaha. And this is non-self, isn't it? When you take it as Atma, it is Annamaya Atma. When there is essence rooted in the physical body, it is Atma. But when you understand, oh, this is, analyze what this physical body is, and understand definitely Atma is not the physical body. You do not know what Atma is. Initially, analyzing what this physical body is makes you understand one fact very clearly. Atma is not the physical body. This itself is an understanding. Enhancement of what? Is a, I mean, growth of understanding. Is it clear now? Now, when you analyze the gross body, what do you arrive at? You are not arriving at the Atma, but you are arriving at the clear understanding. Atma definitely is not the gross body. Thereafter, the same subtle body is presented as three layers of personality. You know what are all subtle aspects which constitute subtle body? I know it's very, I'm repeating it too many times. You may feel bored, but I cannot help because I go with the text, so I have to repeat. Subtle body is nothing but what? It's a constituent of all 16 subtle aspects. And pancha jnanendriyani, pancha karmendriyani, pancha koshaha, and antahkaranam. Pancha pranaha, antahkaranam. All of them together form what? subtle body, and these 16 aspects had to be divided into 3 layers of personality. So 5 physiological functions, pancha pranaha, and 5 the organs of actions. See, totally 10 of them together form pranamayaha koshaha. Isn't it? The energy layer of personality. And then physiological layer of personality. Then we have the 5 sense organs and the mind part of the antahkaranam. Emotional personality, isn't it? Emotional aspect of the mind and the 5 sense organs. 6 aspects together constitute the psychological or emotional layer of personality. And we have the intellect and 5 sense organs are connected to the sense organs, connected to the mind as well as the intellect. These 6 of them, intellect and sense organs together, 6 of them together form vijnanamayaha koshaha, or intellectual layer of personality. Then we say the anandamaya koshaha, isn't it? It's a dormant, unconscious personality is what now is actually nothing but this karana shariram. So gross body is the annamaya koshaha. Subtle body becomes pranamayaha, manomayaha, vijnanamayaha. 3 layers of personality are nothing but subtle body. Then anandamaya koshaha, dormant personality or unconscious personality is what this karana shariram becomes, the subtlest personality, the unconscious dormant personality, layer of personality. Here we have these 5 layers of personality. They are all said to be koshas. They are all anatma. Each layer of personality, all these 5, nothing but 3 bodies presented differently, also form, become the anatma. Therefore, they are all inert, as you know them very well, and Atma is different from each layer of personality also. And all these layers of personality are said to be koshas, covers, because they're not really covers, but when they're mistaken for the self, when the anatma, each layer of personality, when it is mistake being anatma, the non-self, mistaken for the self, is said to be a koshaha, a cover. Okay, like a cover. Now we say, he says, pancha koshadi yogena. Yogena means what? Being associated with. How association? It is inseparable association. Like how light and the opaque object are inseparable. And like how wave and the water are inseparable. Ocean and the water are inseparable. Cause and effect are inseparable. Similarly, here also, Atma being inseparably, intimately associated with all these layers of personality, what happens? Tat tanmaya ivasthitaha. It has become, Atma has become the very layer of Atma is mistaken for the very layer of personality. As the layer of personality means what now? Tat tanmayaha. It has become that. Like how iron ball, well, heated in the fire, becomes what? The very fireball. Iron ball becomes fireball when it becomes heated. Even though iron ball doesn't have heat of its own, the billions of its own, but being associated inseparably with the fire, it becomes that, isn't it? And what happens in Ulta? Here Atma being associated with, identified with the layers of personality, Atma, in your understanding, Atma becomes the very layer of personality. Atma really does not become. In your notionally, Atma has become the very layer of personality. It's called Tat Tanmayaha. Tanmayaha means becoming that. In your notion, Atma is nothing but these bodies. Atma is, as I know, not physical, not really. Really, Atma doesn't become, cannot become Anatma. But in your notion, in your understanding, in your perception, Atma has become the Anatma, isn't it? Because of the inseparable association of the Anatma and identification of the Atma with the Anatma. It is the identity. And wrong identity is due to helplessness, ignorance, isn't it? Therefore, because of the wrong identity of Atma with the, of the Anatma, Atma in your understanding has become the very Anatma itself, the layers of personality itself. And what happens, he says, Shuddha Atma. Tat tanmayaha ivasthitaha Shuddha Atma. But what about Atma? The pure consciousness, the self, the innermost self, the innermost essence, the all-pervasive innermost essence of every being, the pure consciousness, Shuddha Atma. What happens? Neela vastradi yogena yatha spatikaha. Spatikaha, spatikaha means a crystal. This crystal is doesn't have color of its own, doesn't have an, it is, crystal is known for its clarity. It's crystal clear. Crystal is always crystal clear. Nothing can pollute it, nothing can make it colorful or different. But this crystal, unpollutable, unchangeable, and colorable crystal, becomes colorful, doesn't become colorful really, appears to be colorful when it is associated with any colorful cloth. So he says, Neela Vastra Adi Yogena, when this crystal is placed close to or connected to, associated with any colorful mid cloth like a blue cloth, etc., then crystal also becomes what appears to be. Crystal does not become colorful, cannot become colorful, but it appears to be colorful. Kimartham kena karanena neela vastradi yogena, because of its association with this colorful cloth, etc. Similarly, Shuddha Atma, Tatha Shuddha Atma. In the same way, this Atma also, being pure consciousness, it cannot be unpollutable, unrefinable, the pure consciousness which can be touched or tainted, which cannot be changed, that Atma also appears to have become the Anatma, appears to have become the body minus complex, appears to have become the gross body and subtle body, appears to have become each layer of personality. Why? Because it is identified with Anatma. Is it clear now? Is it clear or not? Therefore, he says, now he is going to give again very beautiful, exciting. Vapustushadi bhikkhu shaihi.
Vapustushadi bhikkhu shaihi.
Vapustushadi bhikkhu shaihi.
Vapustushadi bhikkhu shaihi.
Yuktam.
Yuktam.
Yuktyavaghatataha. Yuktyavaghatataha.
Yuktyavaghatataha.
Atmanamantaram shuddham.
Atmanamantaram shuddham.
Atmanam atmanamantaram shuddham.
Atmanam antaram shuddham.
Vivichyat. Tandulam yatha.
Tandulam yatha.
Vivichyat tandulam yatha.
Vivichyat tandulam yatha.
Okay, here Tandulam means rice. Tandulaha. You learned in Sanskrit language class. Tandulaha means rice. And tandulam, objective. This rice is always covered by husk, then it is called paddy. Isn't it? So what you have is, to get the rice from the paddy, you have to remove the husk. Isn't it? In India, we grow a lot of paddy, you know, especially in South India, you know, and then we have to remove it. So he says, that's why he gives our simple examples like that. We know only husk, removal of husk from the rice and all those things. So he says, Tushadhibihi koshaihi yuktam tandulam. This rice, which is, you know, endowed with, covered by, associated with, what now? Cover like husk. The rice is endowed with the cover of husk. Tushadibihi koshehi yuktam tandulam. But how can you separate the rice from the husk? By pounding. Isn't it? The pounding is called avaghatanam. Avaghatanam means what? Pounding. See, by pounding, you have to remove the rice from the cover of husk. By remove the husk and take away the rice by pounding it. Therefore, so when you pound the paddy, the husk gets removed and you can separate the rice from the husk. Similarly, what happened now? This Atma also is what now? It is covered by, as though covered by the Anatma, such as physical body. Why not only one physical body? We have 5 layers of personality, as though covering the Atma. Really, they do not cover the Atma. We have to understand, Anatma can never cover the Atma. Like how wave or ocean cannot cover the water. Because very wave and ocean, being dependent on water for its existence, how can wave and ocean cover the water? The thing is, when the ignorance of water alone makes the name and form ocean as though cover the water, isn't it? When you do not know what water is, then there is ignorance of water. Ignorance of what is really makes the name and form ocean seemingly cover the water. Really speaking, the water cannot be covered by name and form ocean. Similarly, ignorance of what the truth is, what Atma is, what the Self is, what I am, this ignorance, because of this ignorance, this body mind sense complex seem to be covering the Atma. Now, therefore, this body mind complex, Vapuhu, Tushadibihi Koshehi Yuktam Tandulam Yatha Avaghatataha. Just as this paddy, the rice in the paddy covered by this husk, etc., so also this Atma also be as though covered by it because of ignorance. Seemingly covered by this Anatma, the layers of personality also, has to be removed and distinguished and distinctly discerned and distinctly known, differentiated from Anatma. Like this physical separation of Atma and Anatma is not possible. It's like when you see only the ocean and the waves and then when you do not know what H2O is, water is, the truth of the ocean and the wave is, when you do not know, these waves and ocean are seemingly covering the very water. It is ignorance of what water is, make the name and form ocean and wave seemingly cover the truth, the water. Isn't it? Therefore, in the same way here also, the ignorance of Atma makes this body, mind, sense complex, the layers of personality, Anatma, seemingly cover the Atma. Therefore, just as there is no distance between water and the wave, there is no distance between water and the physical, the ocean, and water and the wave are not physically separable, water and the ocean are not physically separable, but cognitively discernible. Cognitively, you can distinguish the water as the truth and this wave as the non-substantial name and form, which has no independent existence. You can distinguish the truth of the two. Water and the wave of the two, water alone is the truth that it is distinguishable. It's not physically, but physically non-inseparable, non-separate, but cognitively distinguishable. In the same way, here also, Atma has to be distinguished, distinctly known. Atma being distinct from the Anatma has to be known only by cognitively separating the Atma from Anatma. For which, you need pounding. Okay, this also needs, for to distinguish Atma from Anatma also, you need pounding. But not physical pounding. Physical pounding means I have to bring a big stick to put on everything. Nobody will come in the class. So here, we need what now? Cognitive, intellectual pounding. And for which? Shravanam. Okay. Shravanam, every day the teacher has to say in the class repeatedly, Tad Brahmatvamasi, Tad Brahmatvamasi, Tad Brahmatvamasi, you are the real Parambrahma, you are Parambrahma, you are the whole, you are the truth. Repeatedly the teacher has to din repeatedly, every day it has to din. See, the same thing we are listening every day, why should we come and waste our time and we sit at home? We know this. So we feel bored. Whenever you feel bored, you are lazy. I think there's something, mind is not ready to accept it. Okay? People are wrong, false knowledge. They think they understand a little bit and then the things are repeated. They think something new has to be taught. Nothing needs to be taught. Only one fact from day one till it becomes ascertained, it has to be repeated. You one has to have the patience to sit in the class. That is why, Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi, that Paramatma, you are that Paramatma. Repeatedly, all the texts, all the Upanishads, any text, repeat the same thing in different ways of making you see. Isn't it? That's why teaching is giving vision. In the class itself, every class, you should be with the Vastu, you should be seeing that. When you go out, you might leave it. That's still every class it becomes, isn't it? That's what? Pounding. Okay? Shravanam, 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 Shravanam. Repeatedly listening to text after text after text after text you are listening. This Shravanam is a pounding. Okay? And when should the pounding stop? Mananam is a pounding. Nididhyasanam is pounding. Understand? Therefore, pounding is not just. It is not just people think meditation. I can meditate and know the truth. I tell you, Shastra Shravanam. Repeatedly studying Shastra with the help of the teacher, systematically, regularly, and being subject matter, listening, understanding, and having understood, reflecting on what you have understood, thereby confirming your understanding, and then only you are supposed to, then you don't need to meditate as an action, you will be in meditation, which is called contemplation, and which will in due course of time result in, that is a real miracle. Real miracle happens only that, now you cannot believe your eyes that this whole universe, which I think so real for me, and overnight you understand this universe is as good as my dream. This perspective change, isn't it a miracle? It is a miracle, isn't it? That will happen, that's only by, that's why intellectual avaghatataha. But Shankara says, not physical avaghataha, yuktya avaghatataha, reasoning, with the pounding of your reasoning. Intellectual reasoning, you have to discern the Atma from Anatma. He says this and this. Because here the yuktya means yuktihi is one's own reasoning, and one's own reasoning must be supported by shruti. Shruti and yukti must be two eyes. Your own reasoning without this help of the shastram will be inadequate. And without your reasoning, shruti will be useless. Shruti study will be useless. Impossible. Study of shruti, shastram, will not be useful if you are not using your reasoning at all. And your reasoning itself without the shruti also will be inadequate. Both must be used here, which is for pounding. For pounding what now? To discerning the self from the, this vision, having the vision of the Atma being distinct from the Anatma, needs this both. Suppose somebody says, I don't need Shastram. I don't believe in the Shastram. That means, what is the Pramanam? You are dependent on a Pramanam, a means of knowledge of the self. Meditation will not be helpful without the using the means of knowledge. The meditation itself is possible, meaningful, only when you have made use of the pramana. Meditation is meaning, the very word meditation is meaningful. Only then you understand what meditation is, what to meditate on, what's the purpose of meditation. Everything becomes meaningful only when you have understood the pramanam, understood the shastram, when you employed the pramanam. If somebody, it's like saying, let me meditate and arrive at the truth. I don't believe in this pramanam, shastram as a pramanam. I don't need to study shastram. If somebody says, I tell you, it is like your eyes wanting to see themselves. The eyes want to see themselves. Eyes have to see themselves. Eyes are so proud, no? They say, we see the whole world. We see everything in the world. Why do we need a mirror in front of us? We'll see ourselves. We can see ourselves. How? Without a mirror. What shall we do? We close our eyes and sit in meditation. The eyes can see themselves with the help of meditation without using the mirror. If somebody sits like that, and the eye, you will sit for ages, sit for janma after janma after janma after janma. And how many thousands of janmas you sit also, you will be sitting in meditations, eyes can never see themselves. The simplest thing is, get a mirror, put in front of you, see, finished. Understand? In the same way here also, for Atma Darshanam, for distinguishing the self from the non-self, and to ascertain the self being distinct but not distant from the non-self, you need to meditate, no doubt, but that meditation should be, what now, preceded by your clear understanding of what is the self is, for which you need pramanam called Shastram, Vedanta. Understand? Then only meditation becomes meaningful. Otherwise meditation will be what? It maximum the meditation can help you to put all your thoughts to sleep. You can be consciously sleeping with your own effort. In deep sleep state, without effort to sleep, in meditation, in samadhi, you can be sleeping without, understand? We make with all your efforts. Samadhi and deep sleep state, only difference is you are consciously sleeping, and in sleep you are unconsciously sleeping. Understand? But there is no awakening. There is no total manifestation of knowledge. You see the difference between deep sleep state is the pure knowledge being totally unmanifest. It is deep sleep state. Pure knowledge being totally unmanifest, death. The pure knowledge being totally unmanifest is dissolution, deluge, pralayaha, layaha, no, layaha, pralayaha, mahapralayaha is nothing but in every condition the knowledge is totally unmanifest. In knowledge, in the wake of knowledge of what I am, what this universe is, knowledge is totally manifest. But in ignorance, when you're awake, in waking state, your knowledge is half manifest. Without your effort, already half knowledge is manifest. You know you are, you know the universe is. That you have in all the whole world, all the creatures, you human being alone, specially blessed with this half knowledge. That is why you are the most sophisticated, most exalted of all the beings, because you are blessed with this half knowledge. You know you are, you know this universe is. Whereas these poor animals and the plants, there's no knowledge I am, there's no knowledge the universe is. That's why animals remain, what not, steeped in total ignorance. That is why animals need not, cannot make effort to make their knowledge totally manifest. It's a known animal has no inferiority, superiority complex, and no animal has any depression also, and no animal doesn't look for any psychiatrist, psychotherapist, psychologist also for counseling and advice, and no animal has any complex, no problem, because ignorance is total. Therefore, they are not qualified for total knowledge also. Is it clear? So, we'll go to the next verse. I like this. Yuktya avaghatanam. Shankara says, yuktya avaghataha, yukti. You have to use your reasoning. Don't just believe what other people say. Study Shastram with the help of the teacher. Use your reasoning. Understand. Because what the teacher says should be acceptable for your reasoning. Just because you have to respect the teacher, listen to Shastram, doesn't mean whatever the teacher says you listen to. But when the teacher says something, Nor they simply have to argue for the sake of, because you have to, for you to just show that you are reasoning also. Isn't it? I'm a reasoning person. Rational. No, that's not true. Because what the teachers is not contradicting your reasoning. It makes you see exactly. In fact, the teacher helps you see what you are able to see, isn't it? Which doesn't contradict your reasoning. That is how it is acceptable. That is why Shastra is so acceptable, because nowhere will it contradict any one of our reasonings. And even if you think, it sounds contradict remains, that means somewhere our thinking is not correct. And then immediately it helps you to see the problems, isn't it? That is why we revere Shastra. If Shastram contradicts your reasoning, and who will respect Shastram? That is the greatness of Shastram. Anyway, I told you already, because it's like the person who has eyes, who has a clear, who has very good vision, for him the mirror is useful, isn't it? But whereas the person who does not have vision at all, and what purpose can the mirror do? So, similarly, for the person who cannot use his own reasoning, the Shastra cannot help. Just as the mirror is useless for the blind person, similarly, for the person of non-reasoning, the Shastra doesn't help. But the person with the eyes also, without the mirror, cannot see his eyes. His own reasoning needs to be aided, supported by the Shastra. Like how you need to use your eyes to see the minute microbes, etc., germs, etc. You need to use microscope. Why can't you use one of your eyes? You need an aid, support of some other instrument to see much subtler. But without using your eyes, what is the use of microscope? Or without the microscope, your own eyes are not enough. So also to see something far from you, your eyes need the support of telescope. The telescope without your eyes also will be of no use. The same way, your own reasoning must be your own buddhi shakti, your own understanding power, the retaining power, inquiring, introspecting power, reasoning power must be aided, supported by the Shruti, the Shastra. Then it becomes what? And use both continuously, that is the proper pounding. Then that pounding will help you to discern the Atma cognitively from Anatma. Now next. Sada sarvagato pyatma.
Sada sarvagato
pyatma. Na sarvatrava bhasate.
Na sarvatrava
bhasate. Buddha veva vabhaseta.
Buddha veva vabhaseta.
Svacheshu pratibimbhavat.
Svacheshu
pratibimbhavat. See, even though you study Shastram and you understand, okay, yeah, definitely, I am as a knower, different from the known body, mind's complex, I understand, but still, when you are involved in the worldly activities, day-to-day life, it is not possible for you to remember this fact all the time. You are now helplessly, your identity is completely with the Anatma only. That is why this avaghatanam is important. Now he says, सदा सर्वगतोऽप्यात्मा
सदा सर्वगतोऽप्यात्मा
न सर्वत्रावभासते बुद्धावेवावभासेत स्वच्छेषु प्रतिबिम्बवत् के आत्मा सर्वत्र से आत्मा सर्वगतः आत्मा सर्वगतः मीन्स आत्मा what is atma the all pervasive reality the innermost essence of all the individuals and all the beings the self of all the beings the substance of the substantive I sada sarva sarvagataha means is all pervasive means there is no place where atma is not no space where atma is not no place where atma is not no object which is not pervaded by atma not only that there is no time when atma is not sada sarvagataha api even though atma is eternal timeless always it is there even when the time is not atma is timelessly spatially limitlessly atma is always everywhere that atma sarvatra na avabhasate it shines everywhere it is everywhere but still it is not available for recognition it does not shine for understanding it is there everywhere but still it doesn't shine it doesn't reveal it is there everywhere but it doesn't reveal it does it's not revealed isn't it available for recognition when you say atma is all pervasive means what does it mean here a atma is all pervasive means there is no place where it is not why because the space itself see to when you whenever you talk about the location of something you have to think of the space isn't it space itself is product of the matter space itself is object of knowledge that means even before this space came atma was even before this space atma was atma is even prior to this space means then atma what to talk of the location of atma atma has no location Atma is unlocatable. Okay? Adhachan Atma is not, it's everywhere it is. It pervades everything, all pervasive. It is always, but it's available for recognition. It reveals its swarupam only in your own mind buddhau eva avabhaseta is available for recognition only in your mind buddhau eva buddhaveva is it buddhau eva only in your mind avabhaseta it reveals it shines okay the same teaching word in taittiriyam isn't it yo vedanihi tanguhayam parame vyoman same thing shankara puts in his own word buddhau eva avabhas sarvatra sarva atma sarvagatah sada asti sarvatra na avabhasate it is not available for recognize where is Atma? Can I, if it's everywhere, Atma is said to be everywhere, but I don't see Atma. I'm not able to recognize Atma, I'm not able to comprehend Atma. If I go to some place, a special place, and sit and meditate, I will recognize Atma. No. You go and go for a different location, that is why unlocatable Atma, how can you locate it? That is why it is not in a given particular space. There's no location for reality, the truth. But he still, that unlocatable consciousness, Atma, is recognizable in your own mind. Even though I don't, and when you say recognizable means what? You don't, it's not as an object here. He says, but even for you, to be able, for the Atma to become revealed in your mind, it needs what now? Swacheshu pratibimbavat. Swacheshu means in only in pure and steady mind. Then Shastra study, you know, helps for this Atma to become revealed. For one to have a vision of the Atma, the truth of the whole universe, it is, even though it's everywhere, it's available for recognition in one's own mind, as one's own self, as real nature of an individual, as the substance of the substantive I, it is available when the mind is pure and steady. The mind is not agitated, Manjan is calm and quiet. The serene. Swacheshu. Because if the, see, without the, if the mirror is dusty and dirty, then also mirror is, reflection is not possible. Isn't it? So it must be pure. Okay, it's a pure wall. Let me see my face. Because wall doesn't have the capacity to manifest your reflection, to have the reflection, because it is not subtle enough, not transparent enough. So you need a transparent, at the same time, clean mirror. Mirror is transparent, but is dusty, still it will not reflect properly. Therefore, similarly, even though body, there is consciousness in the body, there is Atma, consciousness pervading the pranas, the sukshmas, the consciousness pervades everything here, but it is manifest only in the mind. Is it? Where is consciousness manifest? A consciousness is everywhere in everything, always. It is unmoving, it doesn't move, It doesn't travel. You cannot say, oh, it was here for some time before, it has gone somewhere now. No. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't come, it doesn't go, because it is eternal, beginningless, endless, changeless, unmoving, all-pervasive. Or being all-pervasive, it can't move here. Isn't it? It can't move here and there. Poor Atma. It has to sit like this. It means what? Unmoving, because it's all-pervasive. There's no space where it is not. That Atma, and how can, isn't it? Only thing is, for the Atma to become manifest, it needs, what now, some very unique, special medium. And the human mind is the most sophisticated medium here. That is why it is available for recognition. You can discover Atma only where it is manifest. When it is unmanifest, it is not available for recognition. Not available for transaction. Understand? That's why we say Atma is in a non-living thing, Atma is. Atma, don't use the word Atma, you can say reality is. Consciousness is in a non-living thing. Because it's all pervasive, means it must be there in everything. In a dead body, consciousness is. Nalai body also consciousness is. But what is the difference? In dead body, consciousness is. And alive, the body which has life also consciousness is. In every living being, consciousness is manifest. In a non-living thing, Atma is unmanifest. Atma is, but is not manifest. Whereas in living beings, Atma is manifest. There is manifestation of consciousness. And how it is manifest? In keeping with the upadhi. The subtle body is in keeping with the gross form of the gross body. In keeping with the subtle body, the manifestation also. Because every subtle body serves as manifesting medium for consciousness. And the mind, human mind, happens to be the best of the manifesting medium. There is maximum manifestation. I am. Isn't it? That knowledge is what? No, manifestation. We say, and levels of manifestation of consciousness vary. In keeping with what? No, manifesting variation in manifesting media. Is it clear now? Therefore, but this consciousness can be reckoned only where there is manifestation, there alone can be recognized. But where it is not manifest, you should not come to the conclusion it is non-existent. Mm-hmm. When it is not manifest, you conclude it is non-existent. No. Why? We will see in the next following classes. But here, you know very well, for this here, and Atma, avabhaseta, the Atma becomes revealed. Atma is available for recognition. Becomes revealed, what no, swacheshu, in pure and steady minds, serene, calm minds, Atma becomes revealed. Okay? Pratibimbavate, like how the reflection becomes clear in a mirror, clean mirror, reflection becomes very clear. So also, in one's own mind, Atma becomes very clear, recognizable, if it is in a pure mind, only in one's own mind. Okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.